بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The first year that I had gone to India, 1976, was Indira Gandhi, who was the head of the country. And as I had just come into India, then she had introduced Nasbandi, what we say, family planning, and a process of sterilizing men. So you are not fit to be a father any longer. The mixed sentiments, Muslims were objecting, and at different points there were problems, clashes, etc. So all these things are happening. And there were two great saintly figures at that time, Hazrat Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh and Hazrat Mawla Asad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Allah Ta'ala filled the grace with Noor. But they were not very active at that time. Although they were watching the wrong that was happening, but they were not very active. Now because of them not being very active, public had mixed sentiments. What are these people now? And they are so close to the government, in spite of them being in influential positions, close to the government, they aren't doing anything about this. In fiqh, there is a qaida, there is a usul, principle, quite a narrative. يُتَحَمَّلُ الظَّرَرُ الْخَاسِ لِضَرَرِ الْعَامِ. Sometimes a small problem is tolerated to save you from a massive problem. So just to explain this narrative or this principle, 2 years later, in 76, this was about 2 years later, when she called for this family planning, and her term was terminated, and Moraji Desai had come in, but there was a vote of non-confidence for him, and he had to leave, and she came back. When she came back, now she's in power, and one of her children, I think it was Sanjay or something, and he was on a plane, fighter plane, and then he crashed, and he died. So when he died, in the town Meerut, there were celebrations. Muslims were passing on mitais, and the press was photographing all these things deliberately and passing it on. Okay, see what these people are doing. In the meanwhile, I remember I was by Hazarji Muhammad Siullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And when Hazarji heard about this, so he says, "You look samajhte nahi kuch. I hope you don't understand. She is the head of the state, and she is seeing how you people are celebrating at the tragedy that she's going through. They got power, they got might, they got clout, they got strength, they can create problems for you." And just then it was the Eid, Ramadan ended, it was the Eid. So all they had to do is, someone had to just go and throw a pig's head at the Eidgah. That's all they had to do. And straight away the Muslim sentiments flared up. They went and hit someone, a Hindu, and there was a clash, and then the whole army had to come in, and 300-400 Muslims were killed. They had to have some pretext to justify what they're doing, right? But now, the ulama-i kiram, those that were senior, they weren't very active in this. They just pulled back. And they pulled back for a genuine reason. They knew what's going to happen. That they will have some justification to kill Muslims, right? So why give them that opportunity? Number two is this. Now there's 300 or 400 Muslims that are killed, right? Look at it, their wives have become widowed, children have been orphaned. Who's going to take care of them? So they're looking at a long term, you're looking at a short term, alright, they did this, let's go put them in their places, fix them up. Alright, you fix them up, and then what did they do? They got the control, they got the army, they got the strength, they got the might, they got the clout. You went and did something to appease your anger. After that, what happened? Are you there for their children, for the orphans? Are you there for the widows? Are you there to go and support them? For the temporary, to go and appease your anger, you went and did something. So our people are like that. Irrational, emotional, very reactionary, you know, something happens, just react straight away. Not thinking for the short term, not thinking for the long term, what's going to happen? So, there is a law. You know, we were talking of Qari Sahib and Hazrat Muhasib Sahib Rahmatullahi, they have not been so vocal at the time. And there was a reason for them not being so vocal. Now, after all this incident, then you understand, alright, they had some genuine reasons not to be so vocal. Because they wanted perhaps greater privileges for the Muslims. When they wanted that greater privileges, they had to tolerate something. It's not for their personal selves, it's for the greater maslihat expediency of the Muslims. Look at Sulh Hudaybiyah, right? Abu Jandal, what was not happening to him? In chains. He's tortured by his own people, his own parents, right? And Nabi Sahib had to go through it. He's looking at a bigger picture, that we'll have to go through this treaty for the whole region to enjoy peace, tranquility, and the propagation of Islam. And the occasion of Sulh Hudaybiyah, Muslims came in, there were just about 1,000 in number. And just in 2 years after that, is the Fatih Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. Now the numbers have swelled to over 10,000, from 1,000 to 10,000. Because when they signed for that Sulah, for the peace treaty, the peace treaty meant that if we are coming to Makkah, nobody is going to interfere us. You are coming to Medina, no, there will be no interference. So when there's no interference, now he's got an opportunity to see Islam firsthand, to see what Islam is all about. He knows that his blood, his integrity, his wealth, all are safe. And come and stay in Medina for 10 years, 5 years, nobody is going to interfere with him. With his wealth, with his property, with his integrity, nobody is going to interfere. So he got a chance to see Islam firsthand, direct. Now he saw this thing here now, in 1.5 years, so not even 1.5 years. And the number of the Muslims had just swelled from 1,000 to 10,000. But how did it happen? A little bit of understanding, tolerance. Understand how the human psychology, how it works. Try to understand these things here. So Qari Sahib, Muhasib Sahib, they knew what was going on. Not that they were blind. You can't say that they were very simpleton, bore, and they were just taking things happening there. They knew what was going on. But now they are looking for the greater expediency and the benefit, advantage of the Muslim. We lost a life, two lives. But now, because of this, now should we react in such a way that we bring the whole India to a standstill? Should we do that? And if we do it, then what power have we got? Have we got the army? Have we got the control? Have we got the numbers? We don't have it. So now, within the numbers, within their ability, and within their influence, whatever they could do, they did this. Now, it was these type of people that are, short-sighted, reactionary, emotional, that make up the noise, that flee up all the problems. But when they are genuine problems, they are not there to go and attend to them. Someone become orphan, someone became a widow, they need hospital attention. That person is sitting in jail without any valid reason. Muhasib Sahib has to make one phone, and the person is released. And you go and talk to him with all what you have done, he will still open up everything and still do the phone for you, and get the person out of prison. See how they worked. So I'm watching all these things happening in India. Qari Sahib, and you have Muhasib Sahib, rahmatullah, all great. We're not even in the position of taking the names. But it's just some lessons that we observed. In the meanwhile, like I say, that young crowd, that emotional crowd that talks. Yeah. And I don't say that the great ulama, they don't stumble, they don't make mistakes. They could be making mistakes. Well, their intentions are good, their hearts are right, they think for the betterment. In the process, they may have a mistake, one mistake here, one mistake there. Now, is it right for us just to single out the mistake and forget all the good that they have been providing and serving the Muslim community with. Is it the right thing? Is it the fair thing? The same now with all Jamaat. You've got Tabligh Jamaat, you've got a difference, right? Now, is it the right thing to just single out the Jamaat members for one, two mistakes and forget all the good that they have been doing? So many years of good, they have done this, they have done this, they have done this, right? Our family's running well, our home's running well. And we go and analyze it, we think, alright, this Jamaat came here, they made Gersh, I got people changed, my wife got changed, there was some change in the home, and we see the good flowing. Now, for the one mistake or one statement that was incorrect, or that was made by one person, should we just hold that and forget all the good that he has done? Or think about all the good that he has done and forget the one, two mistakes? So when we become grudgy, we become so grudgy, we'll never forget the person. So look at the broader picture, what the man has done, the contribution that he has made. Look at all these things here and then make a comment. Otherwise, it's very, very unfair. Just look at one single thing of his life and then we paint a picture. The man is like this, he did this and he did this and he did this. But what about all the good that he's done? Is it remembered? Do you appreciate? I remember when initially we used to go for Gush from Yasmingo. We came to look at 69, right? So you go to some house and they're laughing you out. Alright. But now the elders used to tell us, you just go and do the work. Don't you say anything. If they say something, you don't that answer, don't that chat. Just go with respect, come out with respect. You show ikram and respect. Don't see how they respond to your da'wat. You just go and extend the da'wat. Now, alhamdulillah, we had the advice of the elders. And I know some places we went, they say, get out of here, we'll put the doors against you. And we are on Cape Town, I won't say the place now. Cape Town, some of them are short fuse. So he's tied the person, the earth will sink you down, just swallow you. It will just keep quiet, just keep quiet. But alhamdulillah, that perseverance, it paid out. After some years, those same people became the zimmedar of the Jamaat. Now they coming to be your dashkil. Before we went to make gush, and now the tables are turned around, and they coming to make your dashkil. But isn't the pleasant side? A little bit of tolerance, appreciation, see the person, alright, what he's doing, I can't do what he's doing. Going from door to door, pulling the person out, right, listening to his nonsense, right, going again now, he's given his name for 4 months, as though it's your need to take him out for 4 months, to get his passport right, when get that visa's right, could he get it sorted out, got some contact here, there, whatever, get the passport stamped, health certificate, go and do it yourself. All these things, as though it is your need to go out in Jamaat. It's his work, and you are doing a thing for him. But now, so much out of the way, talking to the person, calling the person, going that extra mile, after that, eventually you see some results coming out. I used to see in Spring at that time, even that the work just started off, right? So every week or so, there's a dawah, you know, we give some ice cream here, they give some coffee here. I should think, now, why are they doing this thing here? But I understood afterwards that they are trying to enhance and encourage muhabbat. It is an understanding, muhabbat, overlook the person's fault, cover that person, trying to work with that person. Whereas there are people, they were like, you know, the first serve in the clubs, they were that type of persons. And by the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, only the grace of Allah Ta'ala, they became the first serf in the masjid. And they died like that, being in the first serf. From there, the first serf in the club, dancing and all that, and they became the first serf in the masjid, dying there. But isn't that a revolution? Isn't that a good thing? Isn't that a great thing? But this enhancing, encouraging of muhabbat, understanding, forgiving, overlooking mistakes, what a great thing. Wal ya'fu wal yasfahu. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Can't we forgive and forget? Can't we overlook faults? Don't you wish Allah Ta'ala to forgive you? Last week sometime, so one man is phoning, you know, and my wife, this is what she did. He's telling me that he's an accountant, and the job that he does, he has to check up whatever, forensic, that's the word you use. So I do this, and because I do this forensic, so therefore I know how to hack into a program. That's the story he gave me. I know how to hack into it. So my wife was gone for a 2 hour or something, and I hacked into her phone. Right? when I hacked into her phone, I was seeing her whole history prior to marriage. And she was with this person here, and intimate with that person, and non-Muslim, whatever she was. Now he says, I got no feeling for her. I'm just absolutely turned away from her. I have no taluk with her whatsoever. But he says also, the third line he says, but now alhamdulillah, both of us, we are quite active in namaz, we are regular, active in jamaat, we go in mastura jamaat. After marriage, I didn't see any problem. I checked the whole profile. After marriage, there's nothing. But pre-marriage, all things were carrying on. Now she's in jamaat, mastura, parda, she's very cautious about everything. But now when I checked in after 15 years, I see all this story here now. Now what must I do? I have no feeling for her. I don't want to be with her. I feel dirty to be around with her. So I'm thinking, alright, they changed their lives. Right? They have done a great thing, right? Now because of the premarital wrong is wrong, but to spoil this life here now is going to be a disaster. So I can imagine you have 4 children already in this 15 years, and to destroy his life is going to be a bad thing. But now how to make him understand right? So Allah put in my mind, I said, bhai, think for a moment, that from the day you got mature till the day you got married, do you have any baggages? Just think of that. If you got no baggage, or tell me you got no baggage. But if from the day you became of age, till you got married, you got baggages, then what's the difference? Is there any difference when a man commits the same wrong to a woman committing the same wrong? She committed a wrong, you committed a wrong, but your wrong is though marked everything. Because you got exclusive rights with Allah Ta'ala. And she got no rights. So if she does anything, you pin her down, you knock her down. So it came to his mind, he appealed to him. I didn't want to ask him after that further, what wrong you did. Obviously it's prying into his business. But just to be fair, alright, she's done some wrong, I've done some wrong. I won't want her to come and pry into my affairs with a forensic and go and hack into mines. I did it now, just forget the story, forget the past, you've got a wrong, she's got a wrong. Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. One person wrote up to him. See this right understanding. This selective, one-sided thinking is not the right thing. When we think only for ourselves, selfish. That selfie phone made you selfish. It already made you a selfie, then selfish and selfie. Everything self. So, one person, he wrote up to Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah. See how Buzugaradin, they wanted to make up families, not break, not destroy. Imagine if it was your daughter, right? And she had some past, you didn't know about it. And now she's happily in a marriage, 15 years later the person discovered something. And he go and embarrass your daughter, how do you feel? You also feel, you're a man, you're a human being. When you're a human being, you will have some feelings, right? Like he could have done this to my daughter after 15 years, she bore him all the children, she wasn't naughty after she was married, right? But now because of the wrong that she had committed, now he's nailing her for that. How unfair. How would you have felt? Put yourself into that position, you understand how they feel. So someone wrote up to Mr. Rahmatullah Ali. He says, both me and my wife, we are medical doctors, and we are studying at the same college, and we had something going on from the college days until we got married, and we settled eventually, right? Now, after so many years of marriage, one day I just checked into her phone, now you say phone. And I checked the history, and they're still talking, love talks and all that. Now, so I'm really, really broken down. How she's behaving like this? So, Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah to answer this person. It's a difficult one. Because not just fatwa knowledge, something beyond fatwa knowledge. So, Mufti Sahib answered him. He says, you see, both of you all were in university, together, medical college, right? And both of you all were in the wrong. You were from one person to the second person, eventually you all met up. Right? But until the point you all didn't meet up, and were locked up in an engagement or a proposal, whatever, but you were playing around, flirting this idea, flirting this idea, courting and escorting, whatever you were doing, right? But at that time, you also were in a flirtatious relationship, you were doing some things. So you were actually breaking the loyalty with Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala tolerated you for all the years that you were breaking the loyalty with Him. Now, what's the difference when you are breaking the loyalty and she is breaking the loyalty with you? What's the difference? Are you any superior?
And remember, the law of Allah Ta'ala is Al-Khabithatu lil-Khabithin wal-Khabithuna lil-Khabithat. Evil for evil, good for good. Right? If you are evil, then you will get that. You are good and pure, you will get what you are. Right? Remember, he says after that, that if you want to throw this woman here, you will get a woman that's worse than this one here. She's already thrown out from the 100 wrongs that she was involved in, 90 she's left out. Something now is, the back of her memory is difficult for her to delete. Both of them make tawbah and try and turn a leaf. So you see our Buzurgan ad-Din, what they were trying, what they were aiming at. He had no relationship with this person here, no connection. He wasn't getting a bribe from the person of his wife. But why did he have to ask and advise them in this manner to make up things? To baraya wasal kardan amadi na baraya fasal kardan. Musa alayhi salam, right, he saw that shepherd, and the shepherd is talking to Allah Ta'ala in the desert, in the plain. He's talking to Allah Ta'ala in love and ecstasy. Allah Ta'ala, if I only knew where you were, I will apply oil to your head, I will massage your feet. And oh Allah Ta'ala, if I only knew where you were, and I milk my goats, you know, the garam garam dood, I will offer it to you, Allah Ta'ala. And he's carrying on in love, in ecstasy, he's talking. So Musa alayhi salam told him, are you kafir ho gaye? But Allah Ta'ala needs you, does he drink? Does he need you to massage his feet? Does he need you to come and press his head? What is wrong with you? Anyway, he got a shock. He didn't realize what he was doing. Now he understood that he's deeply sunk in kufr. So he went into a depression. So Allah Ta'ala inspired Musa alayhi salam, tu baraya wasal kardan amadi, na baraya fasal kardan. You came to join, not to break. This person was in love, but in love and ecstasy he was going beyond parameters. What he required was someone to tutor him and to guide him, not to break him down completely. He's got the love, but he needs to be directed. Alright, by, you know, just take a turn here, move on this way, just take a turn here, go straight, inshallah will come right. But you broke him down totally, now he's fallen into a depression. So many a people have got that talab of iman, talab of righteousness and virtue, and it is just how you're going to maneuver it. I'm going to take him around. Anyway, talking of Qaytayyib Sahib Rahmatullah at the beginning, all of them, my buzurgs, all of them I take as my sheikhs, right? All of them. I respect them, alhamdulillah. All of my seniors. I don't say that they are flawless. That was Anbiya Ali Musab, they were flawless, right? No mistake at all. If you have a shop 4x4, you will incur a loss of 4 rands every day, right? 4x4 shop. 40x40, every day you will incur a loss by 40 rands, right? And 400x400, then 4,000 rands. So forth and so on. The bigger you will grow, the bigger the mistakes. So the great people also will make some mistakes here and there, right? Anbiya alayhi salam is an exclusive class. They don't make mistakes. Now for us to nail them for every mistake here, yes, if it's a mistake and it's continuous, they constantly the mistake, then we can't make up a story for them. But if it was a mistake they made, and then they realized they came back to their understanding, and they retracted, it's a different thing. But now to forget all the good they have done, and to hold on to the wrong that they have done, and forget all the contribution they have done for the ummah, really is not fair. So now, the madrasa youngsters, I was there at the time, right? But I didn't attend the jalsa itself. But I heard, right, some of the youngsters, Dubai is like a little bit of a free environment. We were over 3,000 student population, like Spima Beach, men's Spima Beach, and the whole Spima Beach is one madrasa, right? So you can't have so strict control like Talimuddin, yeah? Can't smoke, can't do this thing, yeah? In spite of having all the control, not to smoke, you'll find students still smoking. All the controls you got, but they're still smoking, right? They're high somewhere or the other, and they'll get something, right? Last one, what are our phones? But I don't know how they make a plan, whether they've got some jinnat under control, but they'll have some phone. And in the most awkward of places, they'll have it. Alright, inside the mattress, you can't even see. The way they'll dig into the mattress, and you check it from the mattress from the top, from the bottom, can't see anything. Meanwhile, inside that side. So, what they can think of, you can't think of. So the student's mind is a little bit free mind. And we need to understand, appreciate that person is young. Inshallah, we hope that he'll grow out of the wrong. The time, give him some time, he'll grow out of it. You know, the students here, up to the second year, third year, I'm thinking, hey, ye kuch banega bhi. is such a character, would he come right? Right? You tell him explicitly, don't do this, and he do something else. Again, every second day, third day, you got a problem. By the time you come to the 40th, like a buzug, that is your old revolution. Second year, you just lost hope. Hey, he's not going to make it at all. He don't want to come right. Give him a chance, alright, let him move. Or something happened in his life, he heard something just struck. But it took us about 3 years, 4 years to see the correction in the child. So the elder has to just tolerate, alright, by keep talking to him, make him understand, by give him one chance, second chance, tolerate him. Until it's become out of control. Out of control is a different thing, say, by looking for some other place. We can't manage this now. But until we can control him, correct him, smash him down a little bit, we'll try and correct him. And you find this here, sometimes right in the sixth year, the last year, and then you just see midway sixth year, he's a buzurg now. You have a tajud and taqwa and muttaqim, all his past is correcting, everything is coming right. You feel ashamed sometimes sitting next to him because he's no pious than you. Such a revolution comes into the child. But alhamdulillah, it comes, right, for most students, right. You still get after all that, you still find someone still going on the wrong. We are not like the buzurgs of the past. The awliya of the past is such that they'll see the person, they'll know exactly the capacity. Like up till now, you get in India, the tailor, he sees you and he knows your kurta straight away. One sight, he'll know your kurta. He doesn't need to formally do the measurements, take the measuring tape and do all this. He just sees you once, or this is your measurement. They're so good. I mean, in Jogan, the bushermen are so good. You ask him for a kilo, right? They say, bere ka gosh. Kya gosh chahta hai? Bere ka gosh, chote ka gosh. Bere ka gosh means beef. Chote ka gosh means goat meat, right? So that time you were studying. So bere ka gosh, the cow meat, was about 2 rupees, 20 cents a kilo, right? And goat meat was about 18 rupees. It means 1 ran 80. And this was 20 cents. So you go and ask that person, the butcher, 1 kilo of meat, and one stroke, he'll cut the whole slice, the whole piece, go and measure it, go and see, say, take it. But you didn't wait. Go and wait yourself, see. See, exactly 1 kilo. How you got it, right? Allah knows. But this is a reality that we saw in our lives, right? He's so used to the thing, so used. I know sometimes, like in Swingo, we had one person. He was to a mechanic, right? So he'd ask you, just switch on the ignition. You switch on the ignition, you just hear the sound, so I will see your problem. Straight away, you diagnose it. Now you have the computer, lock inside, the computer will tell you what's the problem. At that time, you just switch on this ignition to exactly resolve your problems, go and fix this thing up. So you learn the trade, and you know the uski bari kiya aapko samajh mein aa jayegi. You'll understand exactly what's the problems. So now, these youngsters now, imagine over 3,000 students, right? Some youngsters, they said, now how can they do this? Let us down, this Muslims down. Oh, that Muslim was hit down there. So we'll have a jalsa, and we'll speak out against them. You see, there's jalbas. One is jilbas. Jilsas. You saw jilsas. Jilsas, who makes that kitab covers. Jilsas. And what is jalbas? Jalbas, hurried nature. This morning I'll explain this point by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Jalbasi. Insan, the dua he should be making for good, right? The dua he should be making for good, he's making for evil. The dua, see, he should be asking for what? For good. But because of his hasty nature, and because of his ignorance, and because of his getting frustrated, he's asking for bad. Can't insan wajur. Insan, by nature, he is impulsive. What? By nature, he wants things to happen straight away. Now, in your impulsive nature, in your ignorance, etc., then you calculate and you work out things. Right? And when you're working out things, then you want things to happen like how you want it to happen. Now, this is your impulsive nature. You want things to happen over the turn, you know, over the thing that just happened. So in your impulsive nature, in your ignorance, you're wanting things to happen. But are those things the better things for you or not the better things, right? In your impulsive nature, you want it to happen. You're not seeing the long term, how this is going to turn out, is it going to be the better thing, is it not going to be the better thing. You haven't calculated and you just thought that this must happen out, this must work out for you. But you haven't reasoned, you haven't understood. Right. So this happened because of your ignorance, because of your hasty nature. You want it to happen, right? Hasty, and you want it to happen, right? And when it doesn't happen, then it brings about frustration. It brings about very much, a lot of uneasiness. You know, I projected, it was happening like this, not happening like this. So it brings about a lot of frustration, a lot of uneasiness, a lot of dissatisfaction. Right? So this is one class of person. So he's always dissatisfied, he's uneasy, he's grieving, he's complaining about people. Why? Because he's got a hurried nature. He wants things to happen over the turn. It's not happening like how he had envisaged. So he's feeling so hurt, right? But then there is the second class of person. He's contented, happy with the decree of Allah Ta'ala, right? When he's happy with the decree of Allah Ta'ala, his desire and his dua is, Allah Ta'ala, my desires must just conform to your pleasure. So he is contented, he is not in a hurry, and he thinks to himself, I am a beggar in the court of Allah Ta'ala, antumul fuqara, I am just a beggar, right? I can't tell Allah Ta'ala, I can't hurry you up, rather you serve me first. Is that my place? A lot of you just stand on the line. Just join the line. You can tell me, well, I can't go and force him, do it now, Allah, I need it now. You're not Allah's boss. One thing to happen now, are we Allah's boss and dictating to him that it must happen like this, it must happen now? Can we say? It's not right for us to say that. Not our place to say that. So the one that is contented, he is patient, right? And he is blessed with the understanding that let my desires conform with the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Everything will happen in time. Some things may seem to be nice and good and appealing, but it's not the better thing for me now at this moment. Later on it comes in life, inshallah, it will be the better thing. If it happens now, it may not be the better thing. Though I think that this is the better thing for me now. But is it the better thing now? It doesn't have to be the better thing. So I will ask Allah Ta'ala, I'll beg Allah Ta'ala, I'll show my dependence, my need, my helplessness. But then I will assign my affair to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, I know I need these things here, but you know my present, you know my future. You know what's good for me now, you know what's good for me for the future. So Allah Ta'ala, I assign my affair to you. Though I'm expressing my need, my desperation, my hajat, I'm expressing everything to you. But I don't know what's the future like. I don't know what is better for me, what is not better for me. I will get the thing, and I may misuse, I may abuse, right? You know my present, you know my future, you know my family, you know my children, you know what's good for me now, what's good for me for the future. So I ask for you, I show you my desperation, my helplessness, but you, I will assign all my effort to you now. Right? And I'm happy with your decree. Whatever you decide for me, I'm happy with it. You know, a lot of people ask for long age, right? 95, 100 and all that. I don't know how many musallis there saw. When the olding, a lot of them, right, before the old masjid, they used to come right at this entrance here. Right at the entrance. And all sitting in chairs. So one musalli said, these are all on the death row. And really, one is moving, second one is moving, third one is moving. You know, all lined up like this. And then, dheere dheere, ye kisak jata hai, dusra kisakta hai, tisra kisakta hai. One after the other, they are just moving, right? So one old man, I went to greet him after Jummah namaz. So old musalli, I should see him nice and fit. And nearly every person had reached about 85. And then you could see now he's not so straight in his walking and all that. So I make dua, Allah gives you a good innings, another 20 years. So no, don't make the dua now. Allah must take me away now. And when I looked at them, they were nothing short in their lives. They got children, everything they got. Nothing they were short of. But now enough is enough of life. When they came to that 80, 84, 85, enough, Allah, now you kept us with izzat, now take us with izzat. So you are asking for a long life, but when Allah Pak give it to you, then you can't manage it. Because you see now, hey, all my friends, people that I, my accomplice, all they are going now. Hey, now what must I do in life? I can't relate, I can't talk to these people here. They're not of my age, they think differently. I don't have that type of informal relationship with them. But then you ask for it. Now when Allah gives it to you, now you feel uncomfortable. You see that. So the right thing is, this person there is content. He is satisfied with the decree of Allah Ta'ala. And he does beg Allah Ta'ala not to show Allah Ta'ala attitude and independence. I'm showing my desperation. But he also understands that Allah Ta'ala knows and I don't know. He knows the present and the future, I don't know about it. So I ask, I beg and I do everything. But with all that, Allah Ta'ala, I leave my affair to you. Because you know what is better for me, for my children, for myself, and for my present, you know what's better. One person came here. So there was a buzuk here at that time, right? Iftisab rahmatullah. So he came and asked Mustafa rahmatullah, I got everything in life now, I need a son. Mustafa was reluctant in making dua for him. Mustafa, no, I'm desperate for a son. What a business, I'm roaring, and I'm just thriving. Too huge. I just need a son to be the fifth success of the throne. Mustafa for the second time was reluctant to make dua. Mustafa Ramda used to just joke it out, sometimes just joke it out, but he was a man of a different level, and in his joke you couldn't make the person out. So about three or four times he came and asked, so just brushed him off. For the fifth time, that person became like a pain in the neck. Mustafa, you have to make a dua. I'm seeing all this whole story, this story now is about over 25 years, right? So I've seen the whole story from the beginning to the end. Now, Mustafa made the dua, he's got the son. Now he came back here, said, now please make dua, Allah Pak take this child away. Now he's over 22 years of age, and make dua that this child goes away, because he's an embarrassment for me, he's in drugs, he's in doing this, whatever else he's involved in. It's an embarrassment for me. Make dua that Allah Pak take this child away. Now at that time, you couldn't see it. This buzurg, for some reason, that was no best to Allah Ta'ala, he just brushed it off. It was enough for you to just keep quiet, remain silent. But he kept on prodding, until he made the dua. Now you made the dua, now you want the dua to be reversed, you see. So there's a point in time, you make dua and just assign your affairs to Allah Ta'ala. Leave it, Allah Pak knows. He knows, then why must you get too involved? See, I was explaining the brothers this morning. There's two sides to life, right? And the scientist way got stuck. The scientist got stuck, he went to see now what is the beginning. So when he went to look for the beginning, he found, for example, he found evolution, right? So he went beyond evolution now, how this evolution started. So he came with a Big Bang theory, alright. Then they asked him again, alright, if there's a Big Bang theory that, you know, there was a bang and everything fell in place and all that. But it's so intellectually planned out, sun won't take a second more to do its rotation, right? Everything is working out so balanced, so harmoniously. So he said, no, see, one is the evolution, above the evolution is the Big Bang. And above the Big Bang, there's some intelligence. So now you ask the person why there's an intelligent plan. So who is planning the planning of intelligence? Ask him. There you go, Steph. You don't want to use your brain from that point. So now there's an intelligent plan behind it. But now, obviously, to intelligently plan it out, you need a person. Because intelligence just can't come up. So at that point, he just broke off. Why? Why he broke off, he's got an attitude. The scientist got an attitude, he doesn't want to believe in Allah. So he got stuck, he got hit down. See, he showed his stupidity. First of all, that evolution, Big Bang, all that, whatever they're saying, right? That is just a theory. They haven't yet proven, it's just a theory. Right? An intelligent plan, alright, we see the intelligence in the plan of Allah Ta'ala. But then, to run that intelligent plan, you needed a person. That thing could not run itself. You needed someone to run that intelligent plan. So now, at this point, they just cut off. They don't want to talk. They don't use the brains beyond this point here. So the attitude got them. Why? Because they don't want to recognize a creator. They don't want to recognize Allah Ta'ala. Why do they want to recognize Allah Ta'ala? Because this is old fashioned. They were talking of all the Anbiya and all the pious were talking of a creator. So if we line up with them, then we'll be old fashioned. So the pride of this, that arrogance of this came in between them and Allah Ta'ala. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَلَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. They understood it. وَاسْتَيْقَلَتْهَا, they understood it. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا, but they rejected. ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا, out of that arrogance and pride. So like Firaun, like you can't say that the Firaun was backwards. If you go and see the pyramids and all, it's mind-boggling how he did it, right? But then he rejected Allah Ta'ala. Where? At the point of ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا. The same, that khudi uskin, that agay, that arrogance and the pride had the better of him, that became a barrier between him and Allah Ta'ala. So at that point, like shaitan got hit down, Firaun got hit down, today scientists getting hit down. So all he needed to do is understand that there is a creator, because such a harmonious, beautiful, wise plan can never be of its own. If someone comes and tells you, Salimuddin Masjid, you know, what happened? It was the wind. And when the wind came, then the water and the dust all collected, they came into bricks. And then all the bricks, and then there was some sand, and some molecules and chemicals that went in, became cement. And then there was a foundation, there was some steel just came in like that. You believe it? Say, bhai, ghade ke saamne kisse ko sunao, bhai. Well, explain the donkeys about the story. You will say that it's a donkey story. But now in such scientific language that they're using it, they made everybody donkeys. The whole school is donkeys, university of donkeys. They are buying the story. Sabko gada bana diya. Aur gada janta bhi nahi ki wo gada hai. That's a problem. Donkey doesn't understand he's a donkey. It was such a simple thing to believe in Allah Ta'ala. They complicated it and they made asses of themselves. It's so simple. That's why Imam Abu Hanifa says that there is no excuse for a person to reject Allah Ta'ala. Yes, he may say that I didn't receive the message of the Nabi. He may be excused. If he didn't get the message, he may be excused. But at any given time, to reject the existence of one creator, that's not an excuse that's going to hold in the court of Allah Ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. So every other thing Allah forgives. But tawheed, oneness of Allah Ta'ala. No, there's no compromise. No negotiations entered. You have to. Like I say, this building, it just came up, like scientific. This air came and that molecule came and that whatever came, all put together, it got plastered, everything came right. Bhai, gade ke saamne iske se kuch suna. It's impossible, you see, it's unperceivable, it can't happen. So when this such a small little thing, comparison to the magnanimity of this whole universe, what is this, what is this? Magnanimity of this universe with such beautiful systems and all that, can you believe it just came? Well, you can't believe a small little thing came of its own. So we are talking of Qari Sahib Rahmatullahi, and that is a masjid, right? And Chota Mota got his paintings everywhere, right? Who is his paintings everywhere? Right? If someone tells you that painting just came of its own, that thing just came, all the colors just came, color combination, that design just came, will you believe? You can't even believe a small painting. Forget a masjid. When you can't even believe, then how can you ever believe that such a universe with so much beautiful systems came of their own? So Imam Abu Hanifa says there's no negotiations in this. To believe in the oneness of the creator is a must, no matter what part of the world you're living. Yes, it's possible that the message of the Nabi didn't reach you. You were sitting somewhere in Timbuktu, that message didn't come. Maybe Allah will overlook you, provided the message didn't come. But this aspect that you don't believe in one creator, no negotiation for that. So you are talking of Qari Sahib Rahmatullahi, and these students now, they made the jalsa a mock drama, you know, to mock Qari Sahib and Muasad Sahib Rahmatullahi, as though the whole that sterilizing whole program is going on, and they've been contacted. And they avoiding the issue, etc. They mocked it up, right? So Qari Sahib and the elders of the madrasa, they got to know that how these cheat children have ridiculed the madrasa. So they were given orders, they were expelled from the madrasa. Right, about 6 or 7 boys were expelled for organizing all the singing, they were expelled from the madrasa. But I was surprised at Teresa, you know, I was really shocked. The next day, those same children that were expelled, they wrote a mafi letter, maaf, and we're very, very remorseful of what we did. He goes, maaf, come back. But you are my children, come back. In one word, alright, the shura, every madrasa has a shura. The shura decided that these children, we can't keep them. But one day, stand there for maaf, come back. You see that? Khalifah, you should say at that time, you see, when I leave the home to come to the madrasa, I look within my heart. Do I have any malice in my heart for any student? I look within my heart and my mind, that do I have any ill feelings? And I clear my mind of every type of perceivable wrong. Clear my mind. Mind mustn't have any type of malice, any ill feeling, any dirt in my heart for any person, no matter what he's done. But my mind must be absolutely clear before I leave my house, proceeding to the madrasa. Then do I step into the house. Then do I step into the madrasa. Now that type of a person can run an institute like this. Man who's got that type of a capacity, no malice, no ill feeling, no matter what wrong was done to him, he's forgotten the thing. You go talk to him, he won't even know this was the person. Really, really talk to him, and he doesn't know, he doesn't even remember this was the person that did this wrong to him. Whereas he ridiculed him in public, made a whole mock plea about the whole of Qari Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, everything. But when he's forgiven him, he's forgotten the mistake that he's committed. Khalas, end of the story. You see the type of goodness of the heart. What is required to be able to impart deen. Al-Mawla Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah, his father was Mawla Ismail Sahib Rahmatullah. So, Mawla Ismail Sahib Rahmatullah was teaching young children. So, he had a cane. So he went to beat the child. You know, give him one cut in his hand. So the child held on to the stick. So Mawla Ismail Sahib, he left the stick. Immediately, he went to hit the child. The child held on to the stick and he left the stick straight away. And then he announced, Ab to marne ka zamana khatam ho gaya. Now the time for hitting has gone. Right? Now I tried to work out what was going through that Mawla's mind. Why did he say that ab to marne ka zamana chala gaya, that the time for hitting has gone? Why? Why did he have to say that? It came to my mind that if he hit him now, he will show that, see, I have to hit you, I have to impress upon you that I am the authority. I call the shots. I make the laws here. And you must just receive the law. So you would have impressed upon him about your authority, your position, and your greatness, etc. And that he must respect and he must relent to your authority, your influence, and your position. You would have got this. But the child will have reacted negatively. So, right, this man is pushing me because he's in authority. He's pushing me today because he's strong. He's pushing me today because I'm weak, right? But really, my heart is just getting more and more turned away from him. So I ask you now, when the child's heart is getting turned away from the Mawlana, is the child going to progress? Hey, but these people here, man, they're just pushing me. They're hurting me. And they don't know I have feelings. How will the child take it? So he must have played out in his mind, okay, what's going to happen? So, up to marne ka zamana chala gaya. Allah give us that capacity, that understanding.